Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. As has been our custom for this Lenten season, which is only the second Sunday, so not that long, I guess, we will use our family devotional as the topic for our message today, so I'd like to read that devotional to you now. God's No and God's Yes. Now there is in Jerusalem a sheep gate, a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to the man, "Do you want to be healed?" John chapter 5. Today we have the story of Jesus healing a man who had been sick for 38 years. Jesus found him in the crowd of sick people lying near the pool of Bethesda, and he healed him and sent him home. Whenever I read this story, I wonder about all the people lying there. Why did Jesus choose this man and not someone else? Why not heal the whole lot of them and send them home? I don't know the answer to that question. I do know that God still operates the same way today, healing one and not another, fixing this situation, allowing another situation or prayer to go seemingly unanswered. In a way, it comforts me. At least God is consistent. If he says no to me, he also said it to other people, even in Bible times, when Jesus physically walked the earth. I don't need to worry that I'm doing something wrong or that I don't have enough faith just because my prayer is not getting answered the way I want. God has his reasons, even though he doesn't choose to share them with me, just as Jesus had his reasons, though they are known to us, even now. That doesn't mean I'm going to stop praying or trying to get God to change his no to a yes. But it does mean that God has said yes, yes, 1,000 times yes to us forever through the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus our Savior. If he loved us enough to do that, I can bear his no now because I have his yes forever. Prayer. There are a lot of misconceptions about prayer in our world today. A lot. It kind of makes me a little sick. Some people don't understand prayer at all, and they think it's something that we will to have power over God, which we'll talk about in a second. Some people think that if you have more faith, God will answer your prayer all the time, and if you have little faith, he's not going to answer it. And that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Let's just call it that. Because remember what Jesus says, it's faith like a child, faith like a mustard seed that moves mountains. Jesus doesn't say to you, you got to have strong faith to get into heaven. He says you got to have faith like a little child to get into heaven. So that's not right. Mm-mm. Prayer. There are a lot of people who today will say something like this. There's power in prayer, and to that I laugh my you-know-what off. Power in prayer? Are you crazy? Do you actually think that your words and your thoughts and your actions have power over God? The last time I checked, the only power I have is the power to sin, and I'm really good at that. And if you really want to talk about it, that's not much power at all. To think that I have power over God is not only laughable, it's absurd. And to think that I have power over God is ultimate sinfulness. In fact, that's original sin. That's what original sin is all about, wanting to have power over God, wanting to be like him. There's no power in prayer. Not at all. Rather, the power is in the one who hears our prayer. The power rests in the God who, because of Jesus, opens his ear to hear our prayer always and forever. And there's great comfort in that, knowing that I don't have any power, but the power rests with God. The God who loves us, the God who forgives us, the God who heals us, the God who restores us, has the power and hears our prayer. The other thing I like is this. God loves persistence. You know, I've heard people say, you know, you really shouldn't pray for the same thing over and over again. Well, who in the world says that? Who, you know, I want to look at those people and say, so when did you become God making rules for him? Because the last time I checked, there's a parable where the neighbor goes to his man in the middle of the night. You remember that one, right? And he knocks on the door, and the man says, go away, I'm asleep. So the man knocks more. He says, my children are in bed with me. Go away, I don't want to deal with you. It'd have been much easier if he looked on his Ring camera and talked through that, but he didn't, so I don't know why. And then the man knocks again, and what does the neighbor do? He gets up, and he goes down, and the man wants food, so he gives him some food, and he lets him go his way, and he goes back to bed. And this is what Jesus says: in the same way, your Father loves your persistence, keep on asking. You can't change God's mind, people will say. Well, I've seen evidence in the Bible where God relented of things. He didn't punish people. Well, if you look at the story of Lot, God relented. He didn't destroy everybody. He saved Lot and his family. So, I don't know about this. God, we can pray, and it's God who hears our prayer. And if God hears our prayer and the power is in that, then if God wants to change his mind, he can. So, I'm going to be persistent. Another thing I hear a lot. Sadly, God doesn't always answer prayer. Well, I guess if you look at it from the standpoint that my prayer has power and that I'm selfish and that I'm a sinner, God doesn't always answer prayer. Because if I don't get what I pray for, that means he hasn't answered it. Oh, and if I don't get what I pray for, that must mean there's something wrong with me and I don't believe enough. Ugh, I wish those people would drink a V8. Because the reality is, God always answers prayer. He does. Sometimes it's yes. Yay, I like that one. Sometimes it's no. There's where we don't like it so much. And we get into our human mind that, oh, God doesn't answer prayer because he said no. Or the one I least like, I'd rather have a yes or a no. The one I least like is wait. Oh, I don't like waiting. Don't like it. Now, you may think, really, God does answer prayer? Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says wait. If you look at our lessons for today, in all of our lessons, Job says the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be his name. In the epistle today, Paul has this thorn in his flesh, and he prays for God to take it away. And what does God say? No, you're going to live with that, and I'm going to do something even better with it than what you asked for. Because I'm God, and I'm powerful, and I know what's best for you, and I know what other people need because of your thorn that will bear witness to me. So no, I'm not going to remove it. Deal with it. You parents out there can understand this. Do you give your child everything they ask for? If you do, I have counseling appointments available for you because it's not a healthy thing. Do you, any parents out there, give your child anything they ask for? Children, when you ask your parents for something, do you get everything you ask for? Please raise your hand if you do. I don't see any hands in this sanctuary going up. Parents know what's best for their child. In the same way, as Scripture says, doesn't your Heavenly Father who loves you unconditionally know what is best for you? You see, God always answers prayer. But wait a minute, no, that's not true. That's not true. My loved one had cancer, and I fervently prayed that my loved one would be healed, and they died and went to heaven. But wait a minute. Actually, that same thing happened to Stephanie and I when we lost our daughter Samantha. We fervently prayed that she would be healed, and that she would be better, and that she would be restored. And at first, when she died, we thought, well, God didn't answer our prayer. At least I thought that. And then I stopped for a minute, and I said, well, that's the silliest thing I ever said. Because God did heal her, right? She got the greatest healing of all in heaven. And so when a loved one dies, or we go through something like this, and we say, well, God didn't answer our prayer because they died, in reality, he did answer that prayer even better than we could have answered that prayer. Because after all, let's face it, if you had the chance to be healed and lived in this world where you don't have to be a genius to figure out it's not the easiest place to live, or you could be healed and live in heaven where it's perfection forever, which would you choose? Door number one or door number two, right? But wait a minute, Pastor. I asked God, this happened to me. Oh, this happened to me. Back in December when I was driving to pick up my brother, my best friend at the airport. I was driving down the road. I just had this feeling. I hate driving in Dallas. I hate driving in Dallas. Let me just say this. Dallas is another world. I hate Dallas. So anyways, I guess I shouldn't hate anybody, but I do. But I was driving, and I kept praying, God, please don't let me, keep me safe. Please keep me safe so that I can return home safely. And then I got in a car accident. Somebody hit me, remember that? And I thought to myself, wait a minute, that's not what I asked for. But notice, I didn't ask that I didn't get in a car accident. But then I realized all I prayed that God would keep me safe, and I was safe. I had no injury whatsoever. And I got to minister and share Jesus with the person who hit me. So, I don't know, it seemed like an answer to prayer to me. I asked for this job, and I didn't get it. I asked for me to win the lottery, and I didn't get it. The list goes on and on, right? And the reality is, God always answers prayer. We don't have to dig into this much more, but he always says yes or no or wait. there's always an answer to our prayer. God always answers prayer. You see, because the reality is God knows what's best for us. He knows what's best for us, and we know that when we see Jesus. We know that when we look to the cross and see the Savior who died for us, who redeemed us, who brought us back from sin, death, and the devil so that we could live with God forever, who rose from the dead triumphantly on the third day to assure us that paradise would be ours, to go into heaven and prepare a place that we might be with him forever, even now preparing that place for you and for me. The God who walks by our side, who comforts us in trouble, who gives us hope and peace and joy and love and forgiveness every moment of every day of our lives, who removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. The God who says, "Lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age." This God in Jesus Christ is with us. And God gave Jesus to us because he knows what's best for us. This is how we know that. This is how we know that we can trust in him. This is how we know that we can put our faith in him. This is how we know that God promises always and forever to take care of us, providing, as we say in the explanation for the first article of the Creed, providing everything we need for this body and life and for our eternal life in Jesus to come. Notice I said everything we need, not everything we want. Everything we need. The God who says, "You are worth far more than the flowers of the field or the birds of the air, and they don't fret about anything. So too will I love and provide for you." The God who says, "I open my hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. So I satisfy you in the gift of my Son, your Savior, Jesus Christ." So it is with boldness and confidence that we can approach this throne of God, knowing that he does hear our prayer and answer it. It is with boldness and confidence that even when that answer is no or wait, that we can continue to live our lives knowing that God often has something better in store than we can think or imagine. Right? He does. And we all have countless numbers of times where we can look back in our lives and say, you know, that's exactly what God was doing. As we go through this season of Lent, I think it's appropriate that we look at our prayer life. It is appropriate. And the reality is, it's appropriate for us to look at this prayer life because there's one final thing we need to touch base on. So often we treat prayer as if it's rubbing the bottle of a genie, and God will pop out and say, "I'm here to grant you three wishes." Or calling up a life coach and saying, "Which direction should I go?" Or asking for advice from someone else. You see, God has already given you Jesus Christ and has forgiven you your sins and has given you grace and unconditional love forever. God has already given you the power of his Holy Spirit to live every day to his glory, to believe in him and trust in him, because we can't do that on our own. But so often I hear this from people. "Well, I'm not going to make a decision on this or that or X, Y, and Z until I pray to God and get from him an answer." And then what happens? I've seen churches do this too. They get stuck and they never make a decision. I want to do what's according to God's will. I want to do what he wants me to do. Well, brothers and sisters, remember what God's will is, that all people come to the knowledge of Christ Jesus and be saved, right? God wants us to step out in faith and to trust him and to be people who do that. That means that we will pray about it. But we don't have to fret about making a wrong decision, because as long as we make a decision that glorifies God and loves our neighbors, we can't go wrong. Let me give you an example. I remember getting my first call in the ministry out of my first mission field experience into a congregation, and I was distraught over this call because I was praying and praying and praying, and God wasn't giving me a banner flying by that says take it or don't take it. There was no lightning bolts going around me with God's voice saying take it or don't take it, and I didn't want to do the wrong thing. And an old wise pastor said to me, "Travis, here's the reality. You're not a robot. God didn't make you to be a robot. He gave you wisdom with the Holy Spirit to serve him. And as long as you're doing his work in serving people, in loving people, and glorifying him, you cannot make a wrong decision. Go and be with God's people in either place." Brothers and sisters, grasp on to prayer, but do it in faith. Step out and make courageous and bold decisions, knowing that because of Jesus, the path has already been cleared for you. Step out in faith. Make mistakes. Rejoice in them, because we all do. That's why we have a Savior. But rejoice in loving God and loving His people. And then you will know the will of God in your life, and you will do that which is well-pleasing in His sight. In the name of Jesus, amen.